Well, greetings, brethren, and a very happy High Sabbath to everyone. Today is indeed the Feast of Trumpets, and this is the offertory message. The title is The Invitation. And I'd like to begin in Leviticus 23, where God tells us of His holy days, how important they are to Him and how they're His commanded holy days, the Feast of the Lord. We read in Leviticus 23 and verse 23, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, this is the word of God. God says to Moses in verse 24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, brethren, today begins the seventh month, in the first day of the month, that's today, shall you have a Sabbath, it's a high Sabbath, John tells us, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Today, the Feast of Trumpets pictures the day that Jesus will return to this earth in great power, to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 25, you shall do no servile work therein. Servile work is the kind of work a servant or a slave would do. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So this is the offertory message. We will bring our offering to God at this time. The Bible doesn't say a great deal about the Feast of Trumpets right here in Leviticus 23. But amazingly, I believe the Bible has more to say about the Feast of Trumpets than any of the other holy days. The Feast of Trumpets is a pivotal feast in the plan of God. The Feast of Trumpets is a day of gladness. It's a day of great rejoicing, a day of joy. But also, brethren, make no mistake about it, it also has a contrasting note of solemnity to it. And that's because of the earth-shaking events that will occur just before Christ returns. We must always ask ourselves this question. Who is Jesus returning to? And to whom is He coming against? I want to tie today the Feast of Trumpets to the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a great relationship between the two days. If there is one feast of the Lord, besides the weekly Sabbath, that defines the Church of God people and who they are, and sets us apart from the world, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Not today, the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Tabernacles. We are the people that go up to the Feast of Tabernacles every year. We are recognized for going up to the Feast of Tabernacles. Not too many people that I ever worked with understood anything about trumpets, but they did understand about the Feast of Tabernacles because we shut everything down, we packed everything up, and we left. It seemed like sometimes it was the better part of 2 weeks, even though the feast is only 7 days and the last great day is another day, but with the traveling before and the traveling after, we were gone for a good time. The Feast of Tabernacles is the set aside time to go up and worship God, blessing His holy name, honoring His holy name in glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, that we might be the children of God forever and ever. We read in Leviticus 23 and verse 39, also in the 15th day of the seventh month, that's just 2 weeks off from now, brethren, the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, this is harvest time all over the country. Notice what God says. You shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. I'd like you to turn over to Zechariah chapter 14. Brethren, it's a truism. It is only the faithful brethren today who are privileged to keep a feast unto the Lord for 7 days. But in the world tomorrow, everyone alive will worship Jesus Christ at the Feast of Tabernacles, as they should. We read in Zechariah 14 and verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, we're going to speak about that today because the nations are going to be decimated, wiped out with the coming of the Lord on the Day of Trumpets. But everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, brethren, please turn over with me to Matthew chapter 22. And if you have your marker, put it in Matthew 22 because we'll leave there and go back and leave and go back Put your marker there in Matthew 22. We're going to look again at God the Father's invitation to us. The title of the offertory is The Invitation. We're going to look at God the Father's invitation to us. Matthew 22 and verse 1. And Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. That's not lost on us, brethren. This is a picture of God the Father and the wedding supper of Jesus Christ. He's making a marriage for his son and a marriage supper. Verse 3. And the king sent forth his servants to call them that were invited to the wedding, but they would not come. That's terrible. They wouldn't come. God the Father sent out the invitation, but they wouldn't do what God said. They had excuses to do something else. We have been called by God, you and I, brethren, out of this world, not a part of this world, but out of this world, to follow Him where He leads us, wherever He leads us. It is so important that God sends out another set of invitations. Maybe they don't realize to what great length God says, I've gone to in preparing for this wedding for my son. God made great preparations. Verse 4. And again, this is speaking of God the Father, the king in this parable. He sent forth other servants. These are the prophets of old, the teachers, saying, tell them which are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. All right, think about that for a second. Prepared. God, through Jesus Christ, created the world. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that a couple of times today. Brethren, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. Everything's ready. Come to the marriage. Okay, this isn't so much about oxen and fatlings that are killed. God has prepared spiritual food on the holy days that is vital to our spiritual health. I want to tell you a story, brethren, and this rocked my boat one time when I saw it happen, because we come into God's church with certain illusions, certain expectations. But in a church that I was in a long time ago, in a church area far, far away, there were some deacons who missed every Holy Day sermon. They were there for services, but they missed the sermon. This was back in the days of Worldwide. It seems that every feast day, they were busy with business while the sermon was being given. Right in the next room is a rule. And it was thought by those deacons that what they were doing, they were counting the collection and putting it in packages and summing it all up and opening the envelopes and all that sort of thing. They thought that what they were doing was so important that it excused them. We'll be talking about excuses today, because God Himself brings this up in just a moment. We'll see that. It excused them from hearing the spiritual meaning of the day. And so it turns out, and this is remarkable, and it seems to me that looking back, nobody even noticed that this was happening. But here's what happened. Every single deacon in that congregation, and there must have been 15 of them, I don't remember the number, maybe more than that. Every single deacon in that congregation fell away from God's truth, fell away from the church, fell away from the body of Christ, when Joe DeCotch said that the holy days were not important. So, continuing here in Matthew 22 and verse 4 again, I'll repeat this. Behold, God says, I have prepared my dinner. He's prepared spiritual food for this day for us. Come unto the marriage. The marriage of the Lamb is what's being spoken of. Let's turn over to Nehemiah chapter 4, because the word here is prepared. God has been planning for this. God has been preparing His spiritual food for us. As God says, I have prepared my dinner unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Feast of Trumpets, brethren, is an invitation to the wedding supper. Today, right now, is an invitation to the wedding supper. Notice in Nehemiah 4 and verse 20. Nehemiah 4 and verse 20. Way back near the front of your Bible, Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah 4 and verse 20. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet? We'll sound the trumpet today, brethren. Rush to wherever it is being sounded and join us there. And our God shall fight for us. So we're told right here, this is an invitation. Join with us there. God's going to take care of any distractions that could prevent your obedience and make a way for you to come out of your dilemma that you might be able to bear it. God makes these holy days and it makes it entirely possible for us to be there. How could anyone deny God the Father's invitation? Back to Matthew chapter 22. We'll pick it up here in verse 5. All these people that were invited, the Word of God says they made light of it. And they went their ways, not God's way, they went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Now, you have your marker there in Matthew 22. Hold that spot. Let's go over to Luke chapter 14. But we'll be back to Matthew 22 in just a moment. We'll see that where Matthew lists only two categories of excuses, he has them listed as the farm. Everybody knows how busy you are on the farm. There's always plenty to do. There's always more to do. And merchandise. You never get to the bottom of inventories and selling and moving and loading and unloading. They were busy. And they used them for excuses. Luke goes on to list more of the examples, the very examples that Jesus gave of excuses for not doing what God requires. We read in Luke 14 in verse 18. And they all the people with the excuses, they all with one consent, all that received the invitations, began to make excuses. Now there it is in the King James. They begin to make excuses for not doing what God commands them to do, what is required of them by God. Now the Greek word here for excuses says that they refused and they rejected God's invitation. It's even a little bit stronger in the Greek than in the King James. They refused God's invitation. They rejected it. Luke 14 and verse 18 continuing. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, bought a field, I bought some land, and I must needs go see it. In other words, he's telling God the Father, in effect, I've got work to do. I beg of you, please have me excused. Verse 19, another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to train them, to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, Jesus inserts a bit of irony in the parables here, and it won't be lost on your brethren. But in verse 20, he uses this. This is the last excuse here in Luke 14. Another says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. In other words, he's rejecting the bride of Christ for a lesser bride. That's irony, brethren. Do you see the tragic irony in Jesus' last example of excuses to refuse the Father's invitation? Who in his right mind would choose to marry a carnal wife over being the spiritual bride in the marriage of the Lamb? In our minds, the irony should extend to all the excuses. The oxen, the fields, the merchandise, the farm, the occupation, all of those things. They're all excuses. So Jesus provides a wider variety of excuses for denying what God asks of us. And every one of the excuses is hopelessly foolish when compared to God's invitation. You know, the man bought the oxen. He knew he was going to have the oxen before it was feast time. The man married the wife. He knew he was going to marry her before God's invitation was to be there at the feast. What is God the Father's reaction, brethren, to his invitations being rejected by all of these people? Luke 14 and verse 21. So that servant, the one that carried the invitation, came and he told his Lord these excuses. Then the master of the house, being angry, pick up on that. God the Father is angry because his invitation is being rejected. His people are not doing what he asks of them. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the halt, the crippled and the blind. God the Father is thinking something like, the gall, the impudence of my subjects to think that what they have going on is more important, more of a crisis, more significant than what I have created them for. Why does God become so angry when presented with valid excuses? Each potential wedding guest thought that he was presenting a good reason for turning down God's invitation, never considering for a moment that there are no valid excuses. There are no good reasons for refusing God's invitation. The intent of this parable is that if we do not respond to what God tells us to do, the invitation is not going to be available indefinitely. It's not like, oh, I'll come back later, next year, the year after, and take advantage of the invitation, the opportunity to be the bride of Christ. It doesn't work that way. It's not going to be available indefinitely. The invitation is a one-time offer. The recipients of invitations did not take into consideration the incredible preparations that God had gone through from the creation of the world to the gift of His Son in making the wedding supper possible. God has been working for so long, for eons, to make this wedding supper possible. Verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded. Brought out all of these invitations a second time. And there's still room. There's still room at the wedding feast. Verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, byways, hedges, and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Brethren, if we do not avail ourselves of God's invitation post haste, it is rescinded for good. God's plan is sure. If someone does not desire it enough, someone else will be chosen to take their crown. In every case where an excuse is given and God's invitation is rejected. Verse 24, Luke 14 and verse 24. God is speaking here, for he says, I say unto you, that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper. God is indignant. He's upset. He's gotten the backhand from the people he loved and created to be at that wedding supper. Now let's go back to the same parable back in Matthew 22 where you have your marker. We pick it up in verse 6. And the remnant took the king's servants, again that's the prophets and the teachers who were extending the wedding invitations, and treated them spitefully, and slew them. That's the story of all the prophets of the Old Testament. They were all martyred. And here is where the picture of the Feast of Trumpets is found in this parable of the invitation. We've been talking about going up to the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days, but now God reverts back to the Feast of Trumpets. Notice, trumpets is the time of the nations that they should be judged. We read in verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was angry. That's a big picture, brethren. We can pause and think about God the Father being angry. He had this beautiful, wonderful invitation that he presents to his people, and it's rejected. So he's angry, and he sends forth his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and he burned up their city, both those who refused his invitation and those who prevented his invitation from going out. All of them destroyed in the fierce anger of the Lord. Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, has to do with God's wrath being poured out on all nations and all institutions. Verse 8, Matthew 22 and verse 8. Then said he, the king, God the Father, to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were invited were not worthy. They didn't think it was that big of a deal to do what God said. Verse 9, go you therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11, and when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. What does that mean, brethren? That means that there are requirements to enter into the kingdom of God. There are requirements to be a part of the bride of Christ. You prepare yourself by putting on the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ is the wedding garment, the white raiment of the saints, the righteousness of the saints. Verse 12. And so the king said unto him, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And as we mentioned, he had no answers. There are no answers for not doing what God has commanded us, especially after he's given us so much and he's called us out of the world to be his people. And he wants us to partake of his spiritual food. Verse 13. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's what happens, brethren, if we think, I am going into the kingdom of God, even though I'm not prepared and I haven't done what God says, but I'm still going. You get bound hand and foot and thrown into outer darkness. For many are called and few are chosen. How important is it to accept God's invitation? A certain man asked Jesus, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and come follow me. It's more important than everything, God says. There's nothing more important. Nothing more important than God's invitation. Jesus knew at the end that the love of many would wax cold and that faith would fail. Will the Son of Man even find faith when he comes back? He knew what the tendency would be, what the proclivity would be as we got close to the day of the Lord. This Feast of Trumpets represents the day of the Lord, and it's very close. Let's go over to Numbers chapter 10 as we close out the offertory. Brethren, we are very blessed to know of God's holy days. The world doesn't know them. The world can't keep them. And we're blessed to have the opportunity and the freedom to observe them and receive the blessings of God for doing so. Today is both a solemn holy day and the beginning of the seventh month. Notice Numbers 10 and verse 10. Also, in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offering, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And so, brethren, we're going to blow the trumpet. And immediately after blowing the trumpet, we will have special offertory music. And the title of the special offertory music is Just One Voice. It's performed by Rick Peterson of the Ambassador Chorale. But first we'll have the blowing of the trumpet.
That one.